You're listening to the Raising Empowered Humans series here on the Chat About Children podcast. Let's chat.
Discover children at a whole new level. Be empowered to grow with the children in your life. Welcome to Chat About Children with Sonia Bestelich.
Thank you for joining me for this very special series, the Raising Empowered Humans series. The intention of this series is to share powerful conversations with heart-led leaders, entrepreneurs, experts, innovators, and imaginators who share their stories, philosophies, practices, and principles when it comes to raising empowered humans. This series aims to inspire and energize parents, carers, and professionals who work with children to leave a legacy of raising children who are of highest service to themselves and to the world. Now, I do welcome you to sign up to my newsletter at soniabestelich.com for transformative tips, tools, and strategies to help you be more empowered in raising empowered humans. Let's get this episode started. I am super excited. I have Julia Scott joining me today here on the Chat About Children podcast. Julia Scott is the founder of Love Luck Wealth, and she's an intuitive financial coach and mentor with over 20 years' experience as a chartered accountant, tax advisor, and wealth management specialist. Julia's unique point of difference is her work with money mindset and energy to clear emotional blocks and improve your relationship with money. Julia, welcome to the Chat About Children podcast.
Hi, Sonia. Thanks for having me. This is really awesome. I love your work and I hope I can bring some value to things.
Well, I know you can a lot, which is why you're here, Jules, because I know you can. You do it every day, and the flow and effects of the work that you do with people is, it's like you just can't measure it. It's immeasurable. So honestly, thank you so much for being part of the series. It's a special series. It's all about raising empowered humans. And really, you know, when I think about raising empowered humans, it goes across all areas of life. So it's about being in a healthy and positive relationship generally with everything in life. And money is one of those things. And it's something that, as you know, Jules, we're unpicking all of the myths and the blocks and the issues around it. But certainly to be in healthy and positive relationship with oneself, with other people, yeah, and with the world. And today it's all about how do we learn more about the energy of money and how do we help kids learn about the energy of money? And to give a bit of context, like the last couple of episodes in the series, we've touched on wealth. We've talked about financial foundations and the perspective of understanding your emotional money story and budgeting basics and saving and investing. They're all the things that a lot of people kind of know about. You work on that stuff, but what we're diving into is the real root cause, and that's the energy of money. Not just the root cause, but the root level of prosperity and wealth. You're going to talk more about it. So anyway, yeah, talk to us, Jules. Tell us your story. What led you to this more holistic approach?
Yeah, well, it was really something very unexpected. Life was going very well for me. I was the kind of person who just followed the rules and did what you should do all the time. I was a good girl and I got married to the right kind of man, and so I thought. And then divorce came, right? And my whole world just fell apart, my whole identity, finances, everything, because I had just put all of my trust in my husband, who was also in the finance industry. And I had just totally disengaged from our family finances and just left it all up to him. And I was concentrating on our children. And so this divorce came on. I had to leave. There was like, I couldn't stay. I won't go into the details, but like, I really didn't have any options. I either keep my dignity and I leave, or I tried everything else that I could. So when I left, it was a really harsh reality, because I went from having anything I wanted to absolutely nothing. Couldn't even afford to put petrol in the car, had to like go on social security just to sort of get things back on track. Because when you got to remember, I was very depressed almost. Well, I was depressed, and people say, well, why didn't you just go back to work? That's easily said, because I did have a great career before, but I had two young children. One was preschool age, one was just had just started school, and you know, I didn't have any help. I didn't have any family nearby. I didn't have any money to pay for daycare or assistance, and my mindset was just totally disheveled and not prosperous at all.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of work to do, and there was all this guilt and shame around being a financial advisor myself and not knowing what was going on with my finances and realizing everything was just screwed and I had to start again. So I got to this really low point and I was like, I need help here. Like, and it wasn't just from psychologists. It was like this deep, meaningful new identity kind of help. And I went to a bookshop, and literally there was light streaming in from the window, and it was just, there was this little rainbow of light spectrum on this one particular book, and it was like this divine intervention. And it was a book on feng shui, which is about energy. So these days we have all the concepts of feng shui, which is a 6,000 year old kind of art form, so to speak, or even you could go say it's a science. These days we have quantum physics has caught up with all of these concepts, right? How our surroundings and the words we say to ourselves and the people around us, and our belief systems are influencing our ability to, they're influencing our reality. And I learned about this energy and how you can control the energy around you to reflect back to you the kind of life that you wanted. And I just devoured this stuff. It was like I was just meant to do it. And then magic just started happening. I lifted out of this darkness. I had hope and faith in my own ability to get my act together, so to speak, financially. I manifested my like dream job back in wealth management with working at this most amazing firm with some of the wealthiest families in the country. I was pinching myself on the way to work, right? And my kids were better. Everything was better. And I thought, geez, like people need to know about this stuff, because it's not about what you know when it comes to finances. Anyone can pick up a book and they all say the same thing. They all say just spend less than you earn and have a plan for your money. And it's always the same kind of plan. It might have a bit of different language and jargon around it, but it's all basically the same principles. And I knew this because I managed other people's money, but yet I wasn't doing it for myself. And I was like, there's such a, what is that? It's, and then I realized it's the emotion around money and the energy around money. And that's what I hadn't been addressing. That's what the finance industry doesn't address. And that's why a lot of people in finance actually have really bad personal finances, because like a builder's house is never finished. You know, financial advisors don't always have a financial plan, like stuff like that. Yep. So I thought, how can I make it's interesting and almost sexy and fun for people, especially women and especially mothers, to get involved in their finances, both on an energetic level and an emotional level, as well as the traditional, you know, having a plan, knowing where the money goes, knowing how to make money from money. And that's why I started Love Luck Wealth.
I love that. There are a lot of layers to that story, Jules.
Yeah.
Firstly, I feel like saying thank you for doing the work that you do, as I said before, because the impact is immeasurable. And, you know, when I've said to people before, well, money is energy, it's almost like they go, what?
They go, that's woo-woo. You're like,
yeah. So exactly. So if you could simply say, like, tell us, What does Sonia mean by that? What does it mean by that? What does that mean? Money is energy.
Yeah, okay. Well, everything is energy. Everything on the planet, whether it's living or inanimate, like it's energy, right? You look at this desk I'm sitting on, sitting at, and you under a strong enough microscope, and it's moving. It's particles, and at an atomic level, it's moving, right? So it's energy, and that's quite a dense energy. But when you look at like humans, we are made of energy as well. Like, why do you think when people have a heart attack, they give them, they restart it with electricity, right? Because we are electrical systems, and quantum physics and the science behind all of this has proved that everyone has an energetic field around them, their quantum field, and that energetic field, which is like your, Wi-Fi, so to speak, and it determines which channel you're on. And so you are, you might be on a channel of lack, and you've had this money story that your mother taught you and the women before you taught you, and it's all about nothing's ever going to work out for you. You've just got to work your ass off and just hope for the best, and that's your story. So that's the channel of your, the frequency of your quantum field around you. And that field is like a magnet, and it either attracts or repels whatever your belief system is. Does that make sense?
To me, so, yeah, absolutely.
I know you're on board.
I know it's a beautiful explanation. So as you're explaining it, and I'm thinking for some people it's like totally new, like wrapping their head around all of that. And then they would be like, okay, so once I get the understanding of this at a deeper level, how would I even start to explain it if I need to my kids, or do I not need to explain it? Because they will just pick up on my attitude and what I say about money and like how do you think it works?
Our kids they're not necessarily learning off what we say to them. Like, they're learning off they literally have an energetic cord to our own thoughts and feelings. And it's like if you're going through a hard time, like a divorce, you can put on a smile and have your five-year-old in front of you and go, everything's going to be okay, everything's fine. And then you just close the door, go back in the bedroom and cry and go, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, your kid's not naive. They know that you didn't say that with authenticity. So in a way, it's got nothing to do with what you say to them, although, it can help to use positive language, but it's more about what your beliefs are around money. And I think, I know it's science that kids pick up literally by almost osmosis, by being immersed in the watching of you, the way you talk, the way you do things, the way you make decisions, your thoughts and feelings, your quantum field, like that frequency. It's like we can't see Wi-Fi, but you know it's there. We can't see the way electricity, but you know it's there. Thoughts and feelings are there, and your child is picking up on it. So the best way to help your child have a great relationship with money and understand this energy of money is to be a great example of that with your own dealings and your own thoughts and feelings. And then they definitely pick that up. Now, the next step is obviously teaching them things to do with money and how to manage money, how money makes money. A lot of parents bypass that conversation because they don't feel like they know enough about it, maybe, or maybe they don't have confidence in it themselves. So they put off those conversations, because they're like, I don't want to stuff this up, and they're going to ask me questions and I'm not going to have the answer and I'm going to look like I don't know what I'm doing. And it's like those deep fears come up. So they avoid the conversations. And we end up just talking about the things that we do know. And usually that's experiences we've had in the past that, like, you got to watch out because people are going to take money from you. Everyone's out to get you. You can't trust everyone. You've got to be careful. You've got to work hard. You've got to go to school. And they watch their mum and their dad come home from work and they're tired and they're angry. And so they build this blueprint of rules in their framework for their adulthood, saying, you've got to work hard to make money, but then you come home and you're angry and you're not happy. So then that can work one of two ways. You can either have someone grow up and then have this money story that they don't want to work hard, so they kind of do the opposite. It's like with an alcoholic parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them turn into alcoholics themselves and others will never, ever drink ever.
Yes.
So yes. It's a bit like that.
Yes. Makes the total main thing sense. Is
for you to live what you want your children to be. And if you're not there, the first step in any of these life changes is to acknowledge that you have a problem and it's not where it wants you want it to be, and to move forwards that way.
Yep, beautiful. And I think that's, you know, there's power in acknowledging, okay, there's a problem, but I know that the possibilities are greater than the problem. And I think that's really powerful if, you know, for a lot of families listening, that just understanding that principle just has you kind of go, okay, there's a little window open here.
Yeah.
You know, there is possibility. There actually is prosperity if you're not already someone in that energy, if you like.
There is always possibility.
Exactly. Always.
And you, it's just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, you have the power. And you've always had it. And it's just changing what your beliefs are and expecting the best. But most people are trained not to expect the best. Then they're trained to be quiet about what their desires are. It's like when you blow out a birthday candles, you're not supposed to tell people what your wishes are. You know, what is that?
Yep. State them out loud. And there's that energy again. We're talking very energy focused, but there's the energy in that. And you've already mentioned a few things that we're, I guess, as a society and even culturally, we have kind of those trainings embedded. What are the common ones? There's the scarcity that it's too hard, or there's, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. There's all those things. Are there any other ones?
Well, there's money's dirty. Like, you know, when you remember when your child picks up a 50-cent coin or something, they immediately put it in their mouth and you're like, get that out of your mouth. That's dirty. Like, don't do that. Just like, let's just take that away and say thank you for finding that. Like, whenever I teach my kids, whenever they find money, even if it's just like, you know, a coin on the street, you pick it up and you acknowledge it and you say thank you, and then you do something with it. Like, you might sort of put it in a tip jar or something, or take it home to your piggy bank, but you don't ignore money, big or small, because it's teaching them to spot opportunities for money. And then there's the whole concept of how a lot of us have been trained through, you know, movies and our parents' stories about, if you're focused on money all the time, it makes you a bad person. That's always the villain, is focused on making money, you know. So it's about teaching them it's okay to focus on money. It's okay to make money. You having more money does not mean someone else has less. There is an unlimited supply of money in the world. There are no limits on how much is available. Even just, you know, people go, well, what about, like, you know, they can't just keep printing money. But only 5% of the world's currencies are available in physical form. 95% of currency out there is digital. So it's not like limited. Banks make money out of thin air every day. How do you think, like, you know, they get your deposit. They don't need to hold those deposits. There's no law about that. People think that banks are supposed to always hold a certain amount of cash, but that is a guideline. That is not actually legislation. And 9 times out of 10, banks will only hold maybe 5% in actual reserves. And then what they do is they have a digital number of, you know, Sarah's put in $100,000 into her savings account, and then they'll market for somebody to give them a loan. And this other person will come along and say, I want to loan $100,000. And so they've given this person $100,000, which is also on their balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's $200,000, and this other $100,000 is out of thin air, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, money is just a concept. And I think we give it all this power and all these stories and feelings. It's not alive, so to speak. It can't judge you. Money is simply a tool that you use. And so why are we making it out to be something good or bad? It simply amplifies who you already are and your value systems. If you're a bad person and you come into a lot of money, you're probably going to spend it on bad things. You know, like if you're a good person and you come into a lot of money, you're going to, you know, help people around you. You're going to do good things. You're going to look after yourself. But it's all these stories in the media and these old legends and myths, they're all coloring our belief system about money.
Wondering how your family can flourish without the sacrifice of your health, wealth, and dreams? Empowering a family to flourish is both an art and a science, and I'm super excited to have packaged decades of expertise to create the Flourishing Families program for you. It's time to shift the energy of your family ecosystem with more fun, more freedom, and more fulfillment. Head over to soniabeslich.com and sign up now. How do we start shifting out of the scarcity energy and shifting more into the energy of abundance and prosperity? And I would say, you know, that expanding our mind to the infinite possibilities, if I can put it that way, it's kind of shifting into that. Because one of the two big things you really touched on there, one was judgment. And a lot of the time people don't even realize that they're judging. They have those little biases going on, or they'll see someone in a car and go, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. And they've got all these kind of associations linked to, you know, people with money. So it's like, well, if you're going to judge that person who has money, you will never be the person with money because you have a disdain toward it. So you're repelling that without even knowing it. So I'm sorry, I've jumped in there, but judgment is a really big one that people don't realize that's how they're repelling.
That's massive. And I think the way for people to get that is it's impossible for you to hold two opposing vibrations at the same time. If you are aiming to be in the vibration of abundance and trusting that everything's going to work out and just being that magnet for avalanches of money to come into your life and opportunities, you can't hold that vibration at the same time and then, you know, go and judge somebody for driving a certain car. Or, like, you know, you might see on the news, like, a lot of people are triggered by a lot of celebrities or like the Kardashians, and they're like, oh, that's, they don't need that kind of money. Like, who needs like that kind of money? Who needs to be a billionaire? What a waste. Like, that's a money block. Yep. And you need to be able to understand that, what's wrong with them having billions of dollars? Like, ask that question. What's the problem with them having billions of dollars? Is it because you think that because they have that, there's less for other people? Because that's not true. We just talked about that. Is it because you think they've done something wrong to get that money? Well, if you really look at it, they're exchanging value because they're putting out social media content and people are actually enjoying it. I mean, not everybody, but those who are watching it are obviously watching it for a reason. They don't have to watch it. So there is a valid energetic exchange going on there. It's a problem when there's not an energetic exchange. It's a problem when someone just goes and steals money or just swindles money, but they're not doing that. So it's just, I encourage people to question and catch themselves whenever they find themselves making judgment about people who are in maybe a better financial position than them, or even people who are in a worse financial position because they're making bad decisions. It's like, it's just stay in our own lane. It's really none of our business.
Yeah. Perfect. And I think, you know, the other thing to think about is, you know, using that opportunity of being self-aware of what am I thinking, how am I thinking about other people in the world. It's usually a reflection of what might be going on in our own inner world.
Yes.
And, you know, to be able to come into that and without shame, and you said this right in the beginning of your story, it's like had to work through the shame, had to work through the guilt, had to work through that identity crisis of this is who I thought I was, but now I'm really going to discover who I am. You know, that can feel a bit frightening, but really where it leads you to is having a deep, positive, healthy relationship with yourself, with others, and with the world around us, which is what this is all about. And I think that there's that link also that comes into play with our self-worth and where we feel, and I'll ask you to talk more about the link between money and self-worth. And this could be a conversation for hours because that's tied into so many things.
Yeah.
But can you share a little bit about, and this is just helping people to just start to think about, what might I be doing unknowingly, what I might be saying or thinking unknowingly, so that those seeds are planted to just start to shift a little bit, knowing that that has the power to unteach their children.
Yeah, well, like it's just like having a look at what do you believe about money. So you can start with what the sayings were that you heard growing up and just literally write them out. So because your brain can actually process things better when it's written down as opposed to you just thinking in circles. Mm-hmm. And you can start by looking at that, and then you can say, well, what do I want my financial position to look like? And that is a big eye opener because a lot of people just can't do that. And which is ridiculous because it's just thoughts. It's not like you're not going out and making an offer to the world and that you're not capable of delivering. It's literally just writing out, what do you want, you know, and getting clear on that. If you can't get clear on that, ask yourself, why? Why am I having troubles with this? And it usually always goes back to childhood, and you've got to find the root experience at the youngest age that you can remember, because your subconscious needs specifics. Your subconscious has no concept of time. It just needs a specific feeling that you had. So if you can go back to that original event and remember, like, when my mum said that to me, or when my brother took my piggy bank and my mum didn't punish him, how did that make me feel? And you can start by uncovering what these blocks are. And then you can take it to the other extreme, and you can go to when you work out what you want, you can say, well, ask yourself the hard questions, like, well, why isn't this going to come true? Why would it not come true? And maybe it's about around self-worth. Maybe you don't feel like you deserve it, which again is just self-judgment, and you can work on that. Maybe there's a real concern there that if you come into a lot of money, people will come out of the woodwork and ask you to give some of it to them, and you'll have to have boundaries. So that's another, it brings up another thing. Like, so all of this stuff is actually already playing out day to day, but we're not aware of it because it's in our subconscious. So it's just about paying it some attention, because what you focus on grows. So it's looking at what your belief systems are, what your stories are, challenging them on the worst that could happen, the best that could happen, and then what can I do to make this situation better? Because you are Dorothy, you have the power. There, as we said, there's an unlimited supply of money there. You just can't see it yet because you're so focused on the story, you're not noticing all of the opportunities around you every single day to make money in a healthy, wonderful way.
Oh, and within that, I know that forgiveness is tied very closely with having a flourishing relationship with money.
Yeah.
Just share a little bit about why. Is it because you're dissolving the self-judgment of and all of that stuff? What's your take on that?
Well, again, that comes back to these two different vibrations. You can't hold two different ones at the same time. So if you're holding on to resentment about a past money experience, or some kind of negative experience you had with money, you need to bring it to the surface. You need to look at it, because letting go and forgiving, it's not for the other person, it's for you.
Yeah.
Because all suffering in life comes from our inability to accept what is. You cannot change the past. There is no ability to do that. Science is probably never going to find a way to do that. What you can do is create the future. So it's about, I always like to go back to think extremes like Alcoholics Anonymous, because I really think that when you're making a big identity shift, which is what those people who were in Alcoholics Anonymous are doing, they first of all have to identify that there's a problem. They have to accept. So what's that quote they say? Give me the strength to accept what is. And what is that quote? So accepting what is the first step, because whatever your financial position is right now, it's only a starting position. And you get to choose the next part of the story. You can either continue holding resentments and going, if only this certain thing hadn't happened 10 years ago, I'd be in a much better place. Or if only that divorce didn't happen, everything would be okay. You can't change that. So why are you giving that energy? Accept it. And that's the biggest gift you can give yourself. Forgive yourself for making those decisions in the past or being in that experience. Forgive the other person if you can, but you don't have to do that to their face. It's all energetic. Mm. And then decide where you want to go and what you want it to look like, and focus on that, because you only have so much capacity in your decision-making abilities every day to do a certain number of decisions. Do you want to be wasting that on rumination on things you can't change in the past, or do you want to be using that energy to create your new future? It's really not rocket science.
Yeah.
But we just avoid it.
Yep. It's releasing that resistance and the resentment, and they're all heavy anchors. And once you release the anchors, then you're off.
Yeah.
You're flying. And you know, and your kids, the whole family ecosystem is part of that. And that's where it's just so powerful. I've loved our chat. Like everything we've talked about.
I always love chatting with you.
Like honestly, everything we've talked about is exactly aligned with what it means to raise an empowered human. You know, we've talked about forgiveness, self-worth. We've talked about, you know, non-judgment and how to start releasing that, shifting the way that we view the world, shifting the way that we see other people. You know, that is all shift in a flourishing direction for the future for a family. So, Jules, if there's any take-home messages or kind of top three tips to just sum things up, I'd love for you to do that.
Yeah, sure. Like I think definitely if you are not comfortable having a conversation with your children around how to manage money and how money makes money, then get yourself educated and then have that conversation with your child, because it's much better coming from you than them just learning from friends or the media, you know, because that's different. So get confident yourself, and then watch your language around your children and watch your own thoughts, and start working on your own, raising your own vibration. And then it just happens automatically that your children will pick that up. So I think they're the main things. Oh, and then the third one would be to, a lot of people give their children pocket money for doing chores around the house. You don't want to be associating receiving of money with effort, because it's actually not true. This is the old way of thinking, and I think it's more of the capitalist way of keeping the workers, you know, focused on working hard. But like wealthy people do not make money through effort. They make money through ideas. They make money through connections and adding value by connecting people or coming up with ideas, putting deals together. So encourage your kids to come up with an idea on how they can be of service, and give them money for that. And then also maybe even start investing with them. So once you know how to invest, then teach your kids how to invest and show them where that money's going. Make it as tangible as possible for them, because the olden days it was like you put your money in a bank account, and it never grows in a bank account. Like really, like it might be a couple of percent, but the real growth happens in the stock market. And it's really not that hard. There's so much you can do. It's really easy to get into all of that stuff now. You can start for your kids. And I've got plenty of my very first article I ever wrote was on how you can set your kids up for life by teaching them that all they need is $25,000 in their first, you know, between the ages of 14 and 24, so over a 10-year period. And if they put that in a fund, an index fund, I don't want to get into the technical of financial advice because I don't want to, this is not financial advice, but just for argument's sake, if you put it into an index fund that is diversified, there's plenty of them out there, and just left it until they were 60, like didn't add any more money to this $25,000, they would have over $1 million by the time they retired. Cool. That's magic.
That is magic.
That's what we need to teach kids.
Yeah, the magic of
money.
Why
are we teaching them go and get a job and work your ass off and never have enough? Like, what is that? Like, don't do that.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. That's a powerful, like, that's a really powerful finish, Jules. And I think that as you were saying that, I'm like, yeah, like money likes momentum and it likes to be, you know, and energized and used.
It wants to work.
Yeah.
It doesn't, if you don't pay it attention and you don't put it to work, it will literally fall through your fingers. It wants to be put to work. It wants to be put to use. It shouldn't be just hoarded either. Like it needs to be growing.
Yeah. Cool. That was a big one to end on.
Yeah.
Let's just flip everything right over. Money works for you. You don't work for money.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Awesome. So Jules, where can people learn more about you and your services and any programs, courses, anything that you want to share?
Sure. I am at lovelockwealth.com. All my social media handles are lovelockwealth as well. So you can contact me there. I have plenty of free resources on my website and blog articles. I have courses for people to do, whether it's on how to invest or how to help your kids to invest or clearing money blocks and energetically priming your home for wealth. All of that is available in my online courses and private sessions with me. So I'm really passionate about this and I really do believe it's the missing link. And if people have been struggling to change their financial reality, I guarantee you it comes down to your thoughts and beliefs and this can change your life.
And it can start right now.
Yeah.
Jules, it's been a joy. Thank you for being part of this special series.
Anytime.
Thanks for joining the Chat About Children with Sonia Vestelich. www.chataboutchildren.com.